Every month on All Things Considered for the past year, we've stopped on the weekends to ask you what music you're listening to. We've heard from an astronomer, a painter, and a construction worker, to name a few. Some of our listeners have written and even ranted that none of our guests selected classical music. So in the interest of equal time, we've now invited in Ben Scott, who was a 27-year-old textbook editor from Somerville, Massachusetts. And he wrote us to say that his love of classical music makes him, as he put it, a bit of an oddity among my peers. He adds, "I feel compelled to put in a vote for the hundreds of years of Western music that preceded the 20th century." And we're listening to Ben Scott's first selection. Thrilling. He's in the studios of WBUR in Boston. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
And what are we listening to?
We are listening to the last part of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, a symphony that probably begins with the four most famous notes in classical music, the well-known ba-ba-ba-ba theme. The ending to this symphony, though, is this amazing, instead of the sort of dark and foreboding beginning, is amazing triumphal march, more or less. And I especially love the way it begins when you get those really loud horns just coming it out at you, as if Beethoven's saying, "Now you pay attention to what I'm doing right here."
Well, why don't we listen to this for a few seconds?
Sure.
Who's performing this?
This is the Vienna Philharmonic, being conducted by a conductor who doesn't do many recordings, named Carlos Kleiber.
You know, I have to say, when the Vienna Philharmonic thinks about who their audience is, I bet they're not thinking about a 27-year-old textbook editor from Massachusetts.
No, I think I'm definitely in a bit of a minority. I know when I listen to classical music radio in Boston, and all of the ads are for Persian rugs and retirement homes and grand pianos, I can tell that I'm not the guy that they're trying to sell things to.
So what's the matter with you?
I don't know. I've never really found music written in, say, you know, most of the 20th century. Particularly, it's not like I hate it, as I've sometimes been accused of doing, but it just doesn't particularly grab me. And I feel, especially the music of Beethoven, but a lot of classical music, it just sort of reaches something deeper. It can be very moving.
Was this true of you growing up?
I never really found a music of my own. And then in high school, I sort of discovered classical. And I think the credit goes to my history teacher, Mr. Lillian, who, as part of a European history class, would play us the music of the time period we were studying. And I remember he put on a Handel organ piece, and I just sort of sat up and my eyes opened wide, and I had to have this and more of it. And so I've sort of been pursuing it ever since.
So when you were in high school driving through town in the summertime, did you roll down the windows and crank up the Bach?
I was blasting Beethoven 7th. We used to joke that I was probably the only kid in Concord, Massachusetts, whose parents were telling me to turn down that damn Beethoven. Yeah, so I did have, I'd say, an unusual music collection for my age.
Now, you said you're not a big fan of 20th century music, but I gather your next selection comes from a little more recent time.
Yes, the next selection is actually, it's Aaron Copland, who is, at least within my musical collection, distinct in two things. Number one, he's American. And number two, he was actually alive during the 20th century. In fact, died in 1990. And this is a piece from his ballet, Rodeo. One of the dances in it is probably a lot familiar to a lot of people from the Beef It's What's for Dinner commercials. In fact, I would play it this, in college. I would play this in my dorm room, and it had a sort of very signature ending where it goes bump, 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 right before which the announcer says, "Beef It's What's for Dinner."
And so everybody in the dormitory would be...
would stick their heads in my room and say, "Beef. It's What's for Dinner."
Well, that's not what we're going to hear here,
it's
right?
It's not. No, we're going to hear something that I actually like much better. This is the piece that comes right before it, and it's called the Saturday Night Waltz. The ballet Rodeo, Copland wrote about a cowgirl who's trying to attract the attention of the cowboys. And this is the waltz that they play.
That's really lovely, Ben. What makes it stand out for you?
Copland can be has a very lyric quality. You know, it expresses a lot of things at once. You know, I find it's one of those pieces where I can close my eyes and sort of see sunset over Montana, which is something I've hardly ever seen actually in my life. Especially when the oboe plays at the very beginning of it, it's a very soulful, almost melancholy. I think there's just a hint of sadness, but sort of a very simple, clear beauty. It's very sweet.
And we're going to go to Madrid for this next selection of yours.
We are. This is a piece by Luigi Boccherini, who is, of course, Italian by birth, but spent a lot of his time in Madrid. He wrote this particular quintet called The Night Music of the Street of Madrid to echo the sounds that he heard while living there. One of the interesting things about this is that in this piece, the violinists, when plucking their violins, don't hold them up to their chin, but hold them down like guitars and strum them. This particular piece from this quintet is an imitation of the street musicians of Madrid, the buskers. Boccherini was born in the 1740s and died in 1806. I believe this was written in 1780. So this is a Madrid before, you know, cars and cell phones. And it's a lovely, peaceful street scene with the busker walking down the street.
You know, this is the second straight composition that you played for us here that sort of transports us to a place. You said you feel like you're out in Montana with the other one, and now this.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that classical music can really do, is that because there's no words, it sort of takes you wherever you want it to take you, almost. It's a collaborative effort with the composer. You hear it, and it can bring up pictures in the mind and feelings that are hard to, I would say, put clearly into words. Not that this stops us from trying.
Well, Ben Scott, thanks very much for sharing your music with us.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
And if you'd like to find out more about Ben's selections, you can visit our website at npr.org. Or if you want to tell us what you are listening to, drop us an email at watc@npr.org. Please put listening to in the subject line, and remember to include your name and your phone number. That is, if you want us to call you. What Are You Listening To is produced by our own Susan Stone. From NPR News, that's All Things Considered. I'm Steve Inskeep.